From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this news. Another Juneau woman died of COVID-19 at Bartlett Regional Hospital on Sunday night. She was in her 80s. She is the seventh Juneau resident to die from the virus since the beginning of the pandemic. And another 58 new people tested positive for the virus over the weekend. Most of them are residents of Juneau, but two are non-residents. Juneau City officials reported Monday that 22 people got the virus through secondary transmission. That means they got it from someone who's already tested positive for it. Two people got it through community spread, and they're still investigating the rest of the cases. There are two people with COVID-19 being treated at Bartlett Regional Hospital. And the state health department reports that 1,063 people, mostly residents, tested positive for COVID-19 over the weekend. That figure includes 62 non-residents who tested positive while visiting the state. More than 66% of Juneau residents are fully vaccinated, though that doesn't mean they won't spread the virus. Last week, city data showed some 47% of the new cases over the two-week period ending August 9th were breakthrough cases, or people who were fully vaccinated and caught COVID-19. It's difficult to find data on the severity of those infections, but Juneau Public Health reported to the city that most people who are vaccinated and have gotten COVID-19 say they have symptoms ranging from none at all to a bad cold or a sinus infection. Among the partially vaccinated or unvaccinated, people are reporting symptoms ranging from none to severe illness. Statewide, 94% of all cases and hospitalizations and 97% of all deaths among Alaska residents in the first 6 months of this year were in people who weren't fully vaccinated. Anyone who is 12 years old or older is eligible to get a COVID vaccine. In Juneau, call 907-586-6000 or go to juneau.org/vaccine to make an appointment. It was the first day of school for hundreds of Juneau Public School students. Students and teachers and administrators all said that they were excited to see each other in person. At Thunder Mountain High School, as the lunch period started, Kafoa Maka watched a sea of masked students rush down the stairs. Maka says he was learning at home last year when the COVID-19 pandemic hit, and he thinks being in person will be better for him academically.
I took all online classes, and they were all like pretty easy to get distracted in, but now that I'm back here in the real school, like, I think I'm going to be able to learn better and, like, I don't know, just learn more and be more focused on what I need to do.
Maka and a friend, Ammon Kawakami, said school feels normal, just with masks, and that can make things a little complicated.
I get, like, completely confused because I don't want to, like, approach them and call them by the wrong name. And, like, have them be a completely different person. And so it's just, like...
At Zontikahini Middle School, the school's registrar, Maria Kapler, says she's happy to be back, and the kids are, too. The school feels alive. And Kapler says she's really excited for a return to normalcy.
Last year, it was pretty lonely, actually, especially the first part when it was all distance. And then even when they came in and there were so few students, it just didn't feel the same.
And there were kids running around and laughing and playing on their phones. It did feel pretty normal. There were a few things that were different this year at the middle school. For example, students that filed into Maya Lager's art class had to sit in very specific spots. It took a few minutes for them to figure out the map and settle in. Lager apologized to the class, but told them it's important to know which kids are sitting next to each other. Kapler says that's for contact tracing, in case anyone gets sick.
We're trying to keep close tabs on that, even though, you know, we have more students than expected because of budget cuts, so they're a little tight. But, of course, knowing where they're sitting and who's sitting next to each other is essential.
And right next door to Lager's art class, Ray Eimel reminded kids to pull their masks up over their noses. He told them that it's important so they can all continue meeting in person. The school district's plan right now is for 5 full days a week of in-person learning, and everyone has to be masked when they're inside, though they can remove those masks when they go outside. Kristen Bartlett, the Juneau School District's chief of staff, did a tour of the schools today and says things are going really well. One other thing that has changed is that the district is offering free breakfast and lunch to all students at every school, and Bartlett says a lot of students took them up on that offer today. She says they had 300 more students attend school today than last year, though they won't have a full count until after kindergarten starts on Thursday. The Alaska legislature met today for the third special session this year. Legislators are trying to agree on a long-term plan to close the gap between what the state spends and what it raises. And Governor Mike Dunleavy repeated his call that the legislature pass constitutional amendments to put the permanent fund dividend in the state constitution and to lower the limit on how much the state government can spend each year. He also says he doesn't think that new taxes are necessary. He's proposed making an unplanned draw from the fund to cover deficits for the next few years. He noted that the permanent fund's value has increased by $17 billion in the last 14 months.
You take a piece of the windfall and you spread it across a few years and you're able to smooth this out, and we can get through this without any large statewide taxes or people are talking about income taxes, even sales taxes. You don't need that.
House Speaker Louise Stutes says she doesn't see there being enough votes to pass the amendment enshrining the PFD in the state constitution based on her conversations with other legislators. Stutes is a Kodiak Republican who caucuses with a mostly Democratic majority. Stutes says the governor is asking the legislature to put a higher PFD in the constitution without providing details on how he would pay for it.
To say, we're going to put out a PFD that creates almost a $1 billion hole in the budget and we'll worry about that $1 billion hole later. That is no fiscal plan.
A working group has been meeting since the last special session, focused on a long-term budget plan. The 8-member working group said that some form of new revenue is necessary, along with additional cuts, but they couldn't agree on the details. They agreed that the state should, quote, work towards, end quote, a plan that would set PFDs at a higher level than recent years, but they disagreed on whether that should happen immediately or over time. Working group member Senator Jesse Keel is a Juneau Democrat. He says the group made a lot of progress.
As part of the collaboration, working together, I signed off on a report that calls for a range of cuts, right? That was hard for me, but I can get there. Other members who hate the very notion of taxes signed off on a report that recommended a dollar range of new taxes.
The report doesn't use the word taxes. It talks about new revenue, but doesn't say what that will be. The House adjourned until Wednesday, and the Senate adjourned until Thursday. The largest wildfire in California's history is burning a destructive swath of around 900 square miles. Some historic communities, like Greenville, have been devastated. Former Juneau radio reporter Greg Knight grew up in the Sierra Nevada mountain community, and he recently learned his childhood home was among the buildings consumed by the blaze. He spoke with Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick about the Dixie Fire's rampant destruction and his own personal loss.
Greenville, it was a town of about 1,000 people, and it was a gold rush town. And most of the buildings dated to the 1860s and 70s in downtown, not counting the new development. But, you've got families that raised cattle and raised horses there for, over 100 years. And so there's this certain sense of community that it's kind of gone now. And, it was a gold rush town. And now it's all gone.
There's little rain this time of year, and the terrain down there is really remote and mountainous. Also, it seems like, Greg, these wildfires in California and elsewhere in the Pacific Northwest seem to be happening with more and more regularity.
That's true. It seems like as we get more and more into climate change, a couple of years ago we had the lake fire down in Paradise, which totally devastated that town. And luckily it avoided Plumas County, but this year I guess it was our turn.
Wildfires are also becoming more common in Alaska. Although Southeast is a rainforest, and we have had pretty bad drought a few years ago. It got pretty extreme in 2019. But here in Juneau, it's easy to forget how dry much of the rest of the Pacific Northwest is. How did it happen? How did it come to happen in California?
Well, the drought actually took off in a wild, wild way in the last 2 years. So 3 years ago, we had a record snowfall, and it filled Lake Oroville to the point where the hydroelectric dam was actually producing power again. And then, in the last 2 years, there's been no snowfall, there's been no rainfall, there's been nothing. And, Lake Oroville has been reduced to a creek. And so there's no water left. I mean, so what they do is they bring in these water tender airplanes to try to put out fires. And if they can't suck the water out of the lake, they've got nothing. And so really, in reality today, we've got no water in Northern California.
So, Greg, I have to ask you, so what do you do now? Do you try and rebuild?
My home's gone. I have like an 80 by 100 foot plat of property that's just a cement slab, and I've got nothing left. And so, really, my plan now is to try to get home in the next month or two and, grab my boots, grab a pickaxe, and tear down what can't be saved, and then rebuild what we can.
Greg, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with Coast Alaska.
Thanks a lot, Jacob.
That was former KINY reporter Greg Knight discussing the loss of much of his hometown to the destructive Dixie Fire rampaging through Northern California. He spoke with Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick. That's it from the KTOO Newsroom. I'm Rasha McChesney.